Hi, I'm Lashana Lynch, and you are listening to the Post-Credit Scene podcast.
Jay-Z, Jay-Z.
I'm not agreeing or disagreeing. I just haven't heard it.
Of course, I'm not going to say Nas. Jay-Z, said, okay, Biggie, DMX, Big L.
I was going to let you say Big L.
All of them rappers were heavily influenced by Nas. Every single one. Bro, like, this is not like an opinion. It's a fact. It's a fact that people have said.
You know, they can be influenced, but those projects.
No. But I'm saying that you guys don't appreciate the quality of
in the club. I think he was
of Nas.
The quality of Nas.
I like Nas.
No, and I think he's the greatest. I mean, Nas is the greatest. Him and Kendrick. Yeah, him and Kendrick, one and one.
Rappers, right?
Rappers, yeah.
It's just bars.
Rappers that make music. Yeah. Yeah,
100%. Fucking hell.
Well, you know what? We all have opinions.
Who are your favourite rappers? Who do you think are the best rappers?
Okay, no. My favourite, as in rappers that I listen to, like, are my goats. Kanye. Mm-hmm. Jay-Z.
As your number one.
Do you think Kanye West is a better rapper than us?
Oh, no.
Okay.
I just think he makes in hip-hop the best projects.
Yeah.
I think he's my number two at that.
Who's number one?
Kendrick.
All right, yeah, that's...
No. I agree, though. I agree.
You think Kendrick makes better projects than... Get out of my group chat, man. Why are you in the group chat? Get out, man.
I don't know, man. Right. Mr. Moran, the Big Steppers.
Mr. Moran, Big Steppers.
So insane, good. Bro. It's so good.
It's better than Dark Fantasy.
No, that's the only Kanye album that Mr. Big... it's not better than...
Graduation.
It's better than Graduation.
Call it Dropout.
It's better than College Dropout.
It's the only one.
Mr. Morale is better than College Dropout.
Like,
that's great.
Keeping Butterfly is better
Yeah, you know what? Guys, let's start the podcast.
Look at my seat is better.
Yeah, let's start the podcast.
Speaking of American Gangster, though, to be fair.
That's my favourite Jay-Z album.
Is it? Okay. Oh, it's kind of fitting.
That's crazy, because I think that's a good album. I think that's an alright album.
That's his most cohesive album.
I think it's
after 4-4.
I think it's a fitting album. For the topic today, no?
Yeah, for sure.
Very excited for this one.
Yeah.
Come on, I was waiting for that one as well. So. Yeah, get this over and done with so I can segue. You know what I mean? We are the Post-Credit Scene Podcast, 14 HQ original lovers of film, TV and theatre, back in the studio today for another episode. This is a really exciting one because I think we're going to be talking about would be considered one of the, if not the greatest acts of all time.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Before we get into that, you might not have clocked. There was a little clue in there earlier. I'm going to ask how everyone's doing. Manny, how are you?
I'm all good, my guy, man. Definitely a bit tired. Somebody randomly rang me at 5:30 in the morning. Had no idea who it was.
John?
Yeah, I rang them back. at like 9:30. It's like, who's this? The person's talking. I thought somebody else. Oh, no, that's, my name is redacted. It's like, what did you call me? I didn't call you.
This guy.
I was like, yes, he did. I have a missed call from you at 5:30 in the morning. It's like, I don't know. It's like, oh, probably just a mistake. Just hang up. It's like, weird. That's what happened to me this morning.
Fair, man. Interesting start to your morning.
Yeah.
Jason, how'd you do?
I'm good. I did not get a call at 5:30 in the morning, unfortunately.
Where's that unfortunately?
Don't worry about it.
He's just talking for the sake of talking.
Sometimes I want to get a call at 5:30.
But who, bro?
Interestingly, me and Jason bumped into each other on the way in.
Okay.
Had an interesting discussion. He was telling me, obviously, you can tell the news first about the new opportunity that's arisen for you.
Oh, yeah, I got a new job.
Chase, in London?
Yes.
Hey!
Real. I'm going to be here.
That's a round of applause.
A little bit more, you know.
Love that, man.
And, yeah, this guy, I mean, I might have to take this thing seriously now.
Same thing you were doing in MK.
Huh?
Same thing you were doing in MK.
Same thing I was doing at MK.
Are you planning to move down here, then?
Yeah.
With your future wife.
With redacted.
Yeah. Are you hiding?
I'm joking.
Why are you hiding the loves of her life?
What the fuck? No, I'm joking.
She watches the pod.
She's gonna hate this part. But anyway,
Say she watches.
Yeah.
Even when you're not on, that's a lie. That's cap.
No, when I'm not on, I'm not.
Yeah, she don't watch.
Okay,
that's cap.
I'll say this much. I can not confirm nor deny whether
she's big cap.
I'm on.
Yeah, it's fine, man. I know. It's cool.
Hey, that's still a subscriber.
We had an interesting discussion, though. You were telling me some things. And I think it's okay to have this discussion. It doesn't mean it has to get too deep, per se.
Oh, yeah.
But me and Jason, Jason was telling me about his wanting to take the pod more seriously in terms of his capacity to do so.
Mm-hmm.
And how, I guess sometimes you have those thoughts, you know. Sometimes you have interesting thoughts around how long can you keep doing something for, and so on and so forth. Do you want to give us a quick spill? You don't have to go.
It's this thing of like, so like, especially because of the news of this job and everything, like being able to put in a lot more.
Are you expecting a child soon? Are you expecting a child soon?
No. Okay. God, no. I hope not.
It got quiet in here, though.
Yeah. Hey, no, don't put these things out. Don't put these things out in the universe. Not now. Not now. It's fucking scaring me. No, but more in the sense of like, because of this news, being able to put things a lot more into a lot more effort and, you know, making this work to make this a full time. And then there's always like a thing in the back of my head where it's just like, especially like, when we compare ourselves to other pods, like not naming any specifics, like checking the growth and whatnot, and like just seeing our growth and how incredible it is to see at that pace, and then just being like, okay, cool, this can be like a genuine, viable, full-time option in the future, but also a thing of like, what if it doesn't bang?
Yeah.
This is obviously more of the negative aspects of the thoughts of like, okay, what is the plan B? Is there something to fall back on and stuff like that? And it's just like, just having a conversation of like having these thoughts. And I think we all probably have these individually, but just the thing of like, just being like, okay, cool. Like doing the best you can, I think, like to formulate that thought completely, doing the best you can. And then if it doesn't bang, at least you gave it a good go about it and stuff like that.
Yeah, thanks.
I think also the interesting part of the conversation is, well, and this might sound negative, but it's not meant to. Would you want it to be a full-time job? Does that take away the enjoyment or the escape from your real life when all the pressure then becomes on what was a passion project? I think those are interesting thoughts.
Yeah, no, discussions as well. Interesting thoughts for sure. But like I was saying as well, like this is what I want to be like. I mean, to give a little bit of peek behind the curtains and whatnot, and this is probably going to be the first time you're hearing this, us, but in terms of like 14 and the pod, ideally in the perfect world, I'm doing this full time. But then also bringing back 14 mag, bringing back article writing. And I think those are the two things that I would definitely want from this.
You know, like, I think we had this conversation a couple of days ago, like a week or two ago. It's like, having PCS as a platform is ideally what the goal is here. That's the best way that we're gonna be able to make enough money for all of us to do this, you know, at like a higher capacity. Maybe not just relying on the pod, but having it as a complete platform with various, you know, things that we do, you know, and us guys running that, you know, that'll be super dope. And you know, hopefully building a community, you know, around that. That's the first of its kind. That's the dream, man. You know what I'm saying? But obviously the pod is the forefront and the spearhead of that. You know what I'm saying? So but yeah, man, no, it's good to hear, for, like, you know, for sure.
Manny, me and you discuss things quite often.
Yes, sir.
Typically, as a good friend of mine.
And yeah, I don't even like you.
Wow, that is so mean.
because it was the other way around. Yeah. The exact same thing.
I mean, it's a completely understandable feeling. So I don't hold any grudges on that feeling. But when I talk to you about the pod,
yes, sir,
it's always a discussion around the reason you do it.
Yeah,
fundamentally, I guess, isn't necessarily for what could be. It's more if it can be, that's great.
Yeah,
I think you enjoy the essence of just, I guess, being here and talking about film and TV, because that's always been something you've had a passion for.
Yeah.
Do you want to elaborate a bit more before we delve into today's episode, if you can?
Yeah, kind of linked to this episode is that just enjoy talking about the arts and stuff that...
You know, I love it when you call it the arts, because you sound like a proper... what word am I looking for? It's the right way to word it, but you also... I can hear the passion when you... describe it as art.
Yeah. Because that's exactly where it is.
Sometimes it's art.
Yeah, sometimes it's art. There's always an attempt of art. And it's kind of weird calling something an attempt of art. If you're attempting to create art, then surely that is art, innit? But yeah, it's nice to discuss the arts with people that are as passionate about it as you are, even if opinions differ. And it also just allows you to look at things differently and appreciate films, TV shows, actors, performances in a different way, in a different light that I personally would have seen it like. And it just gives you a better aspect and a better understanding of what you're actually seeing, because we shouldn't consume stuff or art in a vacuum, like as individuals. I think it's nice to consume stuff as a community to get a better understanding of what you're actually watching and seeing.
And some of your best experiences can come in various ways. So, like, for example, excuse me, about to. Cool. Nice. Is it there? It's cool. For example, No Way Home in the cinema.
Yeah. Watching
that in a theater with so many other people who had the same feeling of seeing, even though we kind of knew what would happen, seeing that feeling, you rarely get that. Avengers Infinity War.
Yeah.
Like a rare feeling. Watching, what film would I say recently? Watching Sinners with people.
Yeah.
Incredible feeling, right? Or at home. But you know, like, the era of tweeting and watching TV shows at the same time, whether it was like Game of Thrones like some of those BBC crap. Remember when we watched Line of Duty?
Yeah.
Live tweeting and that feeling of community, although it is like social media and consumerism, it's like, you're reacting to the same thing at the same time I am, and that feeling is quite a special feeling.
Yeah, folks.
Although, so today's pod takes us into a discussion around someone who I consider to be an artist.
Yeah, facts.
I consider this man to be at least my favorite actor of all time.
Fair.
And one of the greatest, if not the, Mr. Denzel Washington.
Jeez, round of applause for him.
Friend of the show.
You know,
funny thing with him, I feel like recently I've seen like a lot more interviews with him and junkets and stuff. And like his personality seems really, really personal. But I think he did an interview with Zainab. Don't know if you've seen it. You must have seen it. I think it was for Gladiator. And he was just giving her like beautiful words of encouragement.
Yeah.
You could really see his personality. Whereas before, I think a few years ago, people were maybe a bit wary of him and a bit wary of his maybe like sort of stoic nature.
Mm.
But his personality is really starting to shine through in the latter years. Talk to me about your experiences with the man himself. Jason, maybe you can go first. Where do you see Denzel as an actor? What do you like about him as a performer?
No, I think like probably in agreement with both of you here, like definitely one of the goats. I like, if I really sit there and think about it, he would probably be in my top three.
Who else would fit in there?
Oh, off the top of my head, I would probably maybe have him, Leo, and then I'm undecided. No, not Will Smith. I think this is the one I probably would be debating if I had a little bit more time to think of it, but Brad Pitt is the one.
Really?
I love Brad
Pitt. That's surprising, man.
I love Brad Pitt, man.
I would have had Leo and Tom Hanks.
Tom Hanks?
For your person, for you.
Yeah, with Denzel.
With Denzel. Okay, first. Tom Hanks.
He's got moves.
Yeah,
Tom Hanks has got moves. Bangers. Like, I mean, they've even got a film together, don't they? Yeah,
Philadelphia, yeah.
Yeah. Phenomenal. Yeah.
And Tom Hanks has got a film with Leo as well.
Which one?
Catch Me If You Can.
Oh,
again, phenomenal.
Banger film. Yeah. Nah, definitely. I think
The Brad Pitt shout is not bad though. He's like
he's got a film.
He's got bangers on bangers.
Brad Pitt.
Yeah, you lot were playing it last episode though. You lot were on his ball bags, man.
No, he
wasn't that good.
No, he wasn't that good in that film. He's the film.
No, he's not.
The film.
He actually really isn't.
The film is about Sonny Hayes.
Like, he has so many better performances.
Oh, yeah, I didn't say he didn't. Yeah, I didn't say he didn't.
I don't think that's even close to being his best performance.
I didn't say that.
Yeah, but that's all to say, like, Denzel, even like, I can't remember the first time I, like, came across the concept of Denzel. But I think it was probably, like, through, like, family members. Like, especially, especially my mum and aunties and whatnot. They were all loving on him. And I was just like, who is this Denzel guy they be talking about? And I can't remember what my first Denzel film was, but it would have been like later on either Training Day or American Gangster, one of those two. And I was just like, yeah, this guy's phenomenal. And just what he means to like be black and be this good without like, I don't know, to a little bit delve into the whole like negative aspect of black Hollywood, especially like, you know, without him having to sacrifice like a lot of these things that a lot of people are, what's the word I'm looking for, accusing other black actors of doing.
Elaborate on that. I don't understand.
So like, especially within like you know, like how certain actors, like you look at, or you know, not just actors but like execs like Tyler Perry, for example. Like, a lot of people say that he is an agent for the CIA to destroy the black community with his films and so on and so forth.
That guy in Snowfall, basically.
Yeah, essentially. And then, or you look at even like more on a more stereotypical or like toxic masculinity aspects, like, can't remember. Who's the second actor from Bad Boys again?
Oh, Martin Lawrence.
Martin Lawrence, like this idea of like, oh, if you want to make it in Hollywood, like, you have to do what the execs tell you, which is dress up in drag. And there are
some, I was going to say bar for bar that word.
So many black actors allegedly have done that. You look at Wesley Snipes, who has done it as well. And they always say, like, this is some sort of humiliation ritual, right? Obviously, that's all BS.
I think Chappelle spoke about that as well, didn't
he? Chappelle spoke about that, made a little bit of a joke about that as well. But, like, Denzel is the one actor outside of that, black actor as well. And Will Smith, actually, I would put in that, who kind of, like, managed to get to the heights where they have gotten without having to fall within that conversation. And I just think that what he does in general, like how he mentors other younger actors, like I think Glenn Powell,
yes,
Damson Idris,
yep,
spoke about how much he has,
Michael B. Jordan as well,
Michael B. Jordan, how much he has helped them kind of like find their style, find their careers and stuff like that. And this guy's an icon in every sense of the word, man.
Yeah, for sure. Manny?
Yeah. I think, so, even thinking about like other actors that I really love, for example, like Leonardo DiCaprio, he's been in so many great films with great directors. Tom Hanks, similar thing.
Mm.
I don't think there's another actor that I can say consistently is better than the film he's in.
I get what you mean.
And I, like, for example, Leonardo DiCaprio is great in Wolf of Wall Street, but I don't necessarily think that Leonardo DiCaprio's performance is better than the film itself, because I feel like so much about the Wolf of Wall Street that it makes a great...
They're more so intertwined with each other.
But I feel like films like, for example, Book of Eli, I think Denzel Washington is better than the actual Insane. Is yeah. actually better oh, than the film.
Was that Chris itself. Brown? Oh, I'm sorry.
That's crazy, bro.
Yeah.
I think Denzel's performance in the Book of Eli, I think like his performance is just better than the film itself. What films I've watched? John Q as well. Similar thing. I think that's a really good film. But I feel like it's Denzel's performance that makes it better than the actual film as well. I wouldn't even go as far as saying Gladiators 2. Denzel's performance.
That's without a shadow of a doubt.
Denzel's performance is better than the film itself. And I think he does this consistently throughout his career, where Denzel himself is better than the film. And I think he's worked with some great directors, but respectfully, I don't think he's had the consistency of working with the best directors and the best writers the same way that...
If anything, he elevates their work, he elevates the screenplay, elevates the direction of the film.
Absolutely. And it's something that he always talks about, that he's worded in a ways that I was never able to, in terms of saying that how film is a medium for directors and writers, while theatre is a medium
for
actors. And I truly believe that. And I remember I constantly told people, like, I feel like acting in theatre will always surpass acting in Hollywood in my eyes. I just think like the purity of theatre acting is just better than what we see in Hollywood.
It's because grassroots, essentially. It's like, it's the foundation, right?
Yeah, and it's even like, it's like it being more flawed makes it better, because now you're seeing actors react in real time to minor changes, like a slip up here, somebody hasn't said the line properly, or someone has hesitated. You're actively seeing that actors improvise in those scenes and actively reacting to this to the scenes, while in Hollywood you get to cut, you get to redo, so on and so forth. Maybe that's why I appreciate like one takes so much. But I feel like Denzel has mastered that as well in film, where you see his performance and he's very theatrical with it. And Denzel's such a well-known face that whenever I saw somebody mention that, oh yeah, at the start of every film, your first thought was that, oh, that's Denzel. And the moment we start speaking, you completely forgot that that's Denzel Washington. He's now the character that he's performing. And I know we're going to talk about different films, so I'm not going to go into that right now. But I think he does that throughout pretty much every single film that he's been in. I think he embodies the characters really well. And there's so much nuance in the characters that he plays because of how he just acts with them and how he performs, whether that be his posture, his facial expressions, his language, the words that he's using, from him being angry, upset, or feeling more energetic or low. It's little things that he does that I really do appreciate in the tone of his voice or just in body language. Yeah, man, I just think this as an actor, it might be like the greatest ever. He's definitely up there in that conversation. Sometimes it's quite hard to pinpoint the greatest of anything to one particular thing or one particular piece of art.
Yeah.
But there's definitely conversations to be had, and I think Denzel is right up there.
And seen. I sent him a TikTok the other day. And I sent him a TikTok the other day, and it was a guy saying, when someone's performing for the camera or like, just trying to get there.
Yeah.
Unseen. But that was me being silly.
Yeah, I know.
Very well articulated. You mentioned improvising, and that sparked that, although this wasn't going to be the first film I wanted to talk about, I think that takes me towards the film that got...
Before we get into it, like, what are your thoughts on, like, Denzel just...
How can you ruin the segue?
My bad, dog. My bad.
Oh, damn, dog.
My bad. I wanted to know your thoughts.
Oh, no. You threw me off.
Oh, man.
You'll finally pick it right back up.
What's the question?
No, like, your thoughts on Denzel, like, how you came about him.
There's nothing I can really say that he hadn't said.
I ruined a segment for nothing.
Yeah, I don't think, even how he articulated it, there wouldn't be anything I can sort of elaborate on, other than the fact that he is my favourite actor of all time. The reason being, which then takes me to a different point, which is fine. I've seen people accuse him of being an actor who plays the same role. Like, I've seen that thrown to his name. Like, I've seen that before. Yeah, for real. Someone said it on this pod before as well. And I was like...
Why?
Didn't say it was you.
No, he's...
Oh.
Yeah.
I get why they'll say that, but I'll let you go.
But I think the reason the accusation or that comment has credence but isn't necessarily true,
yeah,
is simply because he puts bits of himself into every role that he plays.
Yeah.
Rather than the fact that he's playing the same role, or it feels like Denzel is duplicating one role to another.
Yeah.
I think he just puts a bit of himself into every role, and because he's so good at doing that, it might feel like he's stamping a template into another role. But for me, you mentioned improvising, and I think that takes us to Training Day, which is obviously the film that got him an Oscar for his performance as Alonzo Harris. And I don't think that film necessarily is the best written film.
Yeah, but it's Denzel.
And Antoine Fuqua, obviously, he directed that film. I think that's the first time they worked together. I don't think it's an amazing screenplay. It's a good screenplay.
No, yeah.
And it tells a story about corruption and power and hunger and how that can sort of overshadow doing good when you're in such a position of power. But Denzel's performance in this film, where if you hadn't been told he was improvising, you could still see he was improvising some of those scenes.
I did not know that he was.
You didn't? The first obvious scene where he's improvising is the scene where he meets Jake Hoyt for the first time, played by Ethan Hawke. And he takes the script and meshes it into how he saw Alonzo Harris as a character, and embedded particular words and nuances and how to articulate his character. And there was even certain actions that he did, there's certain ways that he slammed, that put his hand on the table, certain questions that he asked about Jake Hoyt's character, which were improvised. And obviously the famous scene at the end of the film, King Kong Ain't Got Shit On Me,
Pelican Bay,
is improvised as well. That he like
bears
improvised.
Bears. I did not know that.
Yeah.
But I mean, now that you say it, it's kind of a thing of like, okay, cool.
Jake!
I can see it.
You think you could do this to me?
Oh.
I saw the director talking about that clip literally on the way here, and he was saying that the cameras kept rolling and he just went completely off script.
But the key thing is they didn't have much tape left, so like that had to be
like, was it. So then when he said it was done, Denzel walked up to him and he asked him, "What was that?" He's like, "I don't know what that was, but I hope you got that because you're not getting any more."
incredible performance.
Do you know there's my favorite verse from him is in Fences. When he has the dialogue with Viola, and then transitions into the dialogue to his son, you know, and sorry, it goes from the son to Viola Davis, and the way that he talks to his son, like the aggression and like the meaning that, you know, what he's saying to him is insane. And obviously Viola as well being one of the greatest of all time, let's not even talk about that, okay? But she is feeding off him, and then when he then transitions to his wife, he changes tone but keeps that same passion, you know what I'm saying? And then like he explained that scene, and he like said how he was just trying to talk how his father spoke to him, you know, and he was trying to kind of like, you know, convey that hard message that a lot of people, well, you know, whites will not understand. know what I'm saying? But he was like, how do I make this universal to everybody? You know, and every time I see that scene, I think it's like a 13-minute dialogue, but it's incredible. Like, there's no action, there's nothing. He just walk around a small house and just having a chat about work and placement and you know, feed power, and it's incredible.
Yeah, we're going to get to Fences in a bit, because you watched it yesterday and partially today. So we'll get to that shortly. Manny, Training Day for you.
Yeah.
Why did that film... Why do you think he got the Oscar?
Because of his performance.
What about it in particular?
I can't really add much to what you already said, but I don't think we've really seen Denzel play a villain, especially not... his characters usually are like fairly new ones. You can see like he usually plays like characters are pieces of shit that sometimes you struggle to love, but you can emphasize with. I think he's done that quite well throughout his career, showcasing characters that are fairly new ones. In Training Day, him playing
Alonzo Harris,
there's less of that, and I think like he's a lot more convincing as just being a bad guy. And
without a reason for being a
bad guy. There's no nuance to his badness, but there's nuance in his character, if that makes sense. Like, and it was quite hard. I didn't hate his character. I knew he was a piece of shit.
You don't hate him.
I still don't.
Yeah, yeah. I don't hate his character, but that's more so because of how Denzel plays him, rather than again with the writing specifically. He just saw like there's a level of confidence and assurance and self-assurance that he has that makes me not necessarily root for him, but it makes me want to see his journey. It makes me want to see
and you want to see him on screen every single
time. Like I'm confirming the right word, admired, a lord. Like I just want to I want to see him on screen.
Enamored with his character.
That's the word I'm looking for.
The only part of that film where I feel like that's not right, as in I'm against him, is you know when he shoots Roger.
In the house.
When they come for the money. Because obviously, prior to that, there's a scene of him essentially being his friend, isn't it, and almost his confidant, and they're like they're talking. And
I think that also shows the darkness of his character.
Yeah, and then he comes back and he shoots, and you're like, it's like prior to that, you know, he's doing a bit of things that are wrong, but that's the moment I'm like, all right,
that's the moment that
they're like, I can't root for him.
Before it's a bit shady.
Yeah, but that's like, yeah.
But I think just him being able to essentially have my eyes glued to the screen is what makes it a great performance. And getting back to my point in terms of like consistently, I feel like Denzel has been better than the films that he's been in. Like outside of Denzel, not that anything else was like bad or terrible, but I am there for Denzel. So even back to the conversation in terms of like what makes somebody a movie star or what makes someone a megastar, is Denzel, because you're there for Denzel specifically, rather than anything that's anything else that's attached to it. You're there for Denzel Washington. That's what I just felt when I watched Training Day. If I go back watch Training Day again, I'm watching it for Denzel specifically. Nothing else.
But I do think Ethan Hawke.
Oh yeah, he was.
I think he's a great. He's a great supporting character. Or actor, shall I say, in that particular film. Go on, what was you going
to? Sorry, I was going as far as going saying that he's probably been one of my favorite supporting actors in any of Denzel's films,
and a great character because we from the beginning of the film we see his character who. He wants to do good. He's the antithesis of Alonzo Harris. But you can see how easily corruptible someone can be when someone so alluring and someone so dominating has something that you're after.
I think with Denzel, especially within this film, is like he has an incredible amount of charm. Like as Alonzo Harris, like the way he's able to.
But in switches.
Exactly,
because he's take the drugs. Yeah. For example, or it's fine.
Don't worry about it, and it's just like. Like the way he's just able to, like, I think that's the switch in it. The way he can be like from one second to be like really good friend, nice confidant, mentor,
yeah, for sure,
charming guy, and then switches it to like this really callous, nasty guy who would do anything to get his.
It takes a wolf to catch a wolf. That's why.
Exactly.
But I love the ending of the film because I think it showed it takes a community sometimes to really come together to get rid of callous, as you mentioned, negative, bad human beings or bad force or bad energy. And I think Alonzo served as a bad source of energy within the community. Mm. Although he pretended to be doing good for them and they needed him. The moment they turned on him, they saw the real him.
Yeah.
Although they already knew that, they saw what he really thought of them. And I think that was a great way to end the film, especially for Jake to walk away from him as well.
Yeah.
And then you see the act of desperation. This is no longer a man that's like got the power and the a domineering force. Instead, you see how vulnerable his character really is. And it's, those are two different performances.
Yeah.
Denzel's the man.
I think you know, I seen him going back and forth from attacking the comedian that was there saying, Jake, come here.
Yeah.
And then he's looking at them, but no, Jake, come here. I just think that is one of my favourite scenes in film for an actor.
King Kong ain't got shit.
King Kong ain't got
me.
Shit on me, bro.
Playing basketball
in Pelican Bay.
Pelican Bay. Quality, man. That does take us to Fences, because Hoss did sort of somewhat segue it for us already. I saw the film midweek for the first time. I'd always seen clips and I've always been wanting to see it, but never really found the time.
Not seen it still.
Yeah, I'm actually the same boat. Bro, I haven't seen it either. So, but it looks
It's, and he'll be able to maybe elaborate more with his sort of theatre knowledge and insight into theatre and stage play. You can watch that film and see that this is a screenplay, this is a theatre that's been transitioned into TV, into movies and films. But, and you still feel the essence of that, but they've managed through the performances of those two to mesh the two worlds into one.
Mm-hmm.
To have those two actors in the same film, for me, is it's like, it's crazy to think, because Viola, everything I've known of Viola prior is super like highly emotive, emotional, but like a very like powerful woman at the same time. We see a different side to her acting ability here, where it's more of a, it's a supporting role, it's a vulnerable role, it's a loving role. But then we get that aspect of sort of power, that feeling of, you know, when you mesh power and vulnerability.
Yeah.
The scene where she has her outburst finally. And it wasn't, if you hadn't seen that clip before, I wasn't expecting that scene.
Oh, I didn't see the clip before.
You had never seen her, the scene with her, with the snot?
It's everyone's socials.
Oh, well, I purposely avoid some stuff.
Okay. So,
because I knew that eventually I'm going to watch it as well, yeah.
I wouldn't have expected that to be placed where it was, because her character never really cracks. But the fact Troy comes in with this news is such an understandable moment for her character to finally crack. Those two actors are superb. I think it's a very contained film. It's very heartfelt. It's very much of the times where it was set. I think they both bounce off each other superbly. Yeah. At times, it doesn't even necessarily... Sometimes, I can't lie, there was a particular moment where I thought Viola was actually performing better than Denzel. And that's not to say Denzel wasn't incredible.
Yeah.
But there was there's this patience and vulnerability in her character, which I really, really enjoyed. And then she bursts into the moment where you feel the visceral pain that her character carries. Manny, what did Fences do for you? Because I knew this would be the film.
Bro, I think this is my favourite Denzel film. I think it's my favourite film, the Denzel...
What did you think of Troy as a character?
It's so easy just to call him a piece of shit. Even though he is, it's a lot more than that. He's definitely like a troubled person with a lot of insecurities and a lot of issues. He tries to stick to a particular code that's actually
trauma as well.
Yeah, have you seen it?
I've only seen clips of it, but like
you can yeah. Is it
seen the clip of like when he's talking to his son? It's probably
say
where he's like, I don't have to love you. I don't have to like you.
I don't have to like you. I just have to kind of like provide for you. Or whatever.
Yeah, but even
roof over your head. And
even him feeling like that comes from the relationship that he had with his own dad. He hated his dad for good reason.
Generational trauma.
But by the way he spoke about his dad, he says that he was around. He still fed me, still gave me a roof on my head. Mm. So he feels like he owed his dad a level of respect because of that, and thought he was old enough to make it on his own. Mm. But his performance, or his character, as you asked, it's easy to just call him a piece of shit, or just look at him in a way as a... perpetrator of not necessarily physical violence, but more emotional violence and mental violence within the home of his wife and his son. You always have to need to look at the circumstances that he grew up in, and it's understandable as to why he's the way he is, to an extent. But yeah, his character wasn't great, and his interaction with Viola's characters, Rose, especially at the beginning. It was just really nice to see them two bounce off each other in that way, and how easy and comfortable I felt just watching those two perform together. And you mentioned, I think there was definitely, I think there's maybe more than one scene in terms where I just felt like Viola probably had a better scene when if comparing those two, even though it was like apples and pears at that point. It's something that I don't know if I mentioned this morning. I did. I think I mentioned something along the lines of saying that I need to think about like what my favorite pairing of performances have been in the film, because as soon as I watched it, like that might be like my favorite, or it's definitely up there. I think both of them were absolutely incredible. Obviously, Denzel is definitely the lead of the. Of the show, so he has a lot more scenes, and there's one particular scene where he's talking to his son about his relationship with his dad and the reason why he ended up leaving. I was just so lost in that conversation. I was just so lost in him just talking, and I think I watched that scene like twice. I watched it to the end and reloaded it. I don't rarely ever do that for films, just to go back and watch it. And I think that's just purely just based on just acting, nothing to do with like. Even the circumstance, even the story he was telling, it wasn't like something that was foreshadowed. It wasn't even something that was being brought up before. He just came out with it and started talking. And it just proves the powers of how well of an actor he is. And Viola Davis has her own scene that's kind of similar when she finally breaks down. And just, again, I willed up that scene as well, because I'm just sitting there watching and seeing like how great of an acting these people are.
It didn't
are.
Feel like you were watching Viola Davis. It felt like,
yeah. I did. It was watching Rose, feeling her pain. I think like her confusion as well, in terms of like, I've done everything a wife should be able to do.
And I think the fact she was so patient throughout the film made her cracking makes so much sense.
Yeah.
Because of the way, at times, he spoke to her, the way he would say certain things, which aren't necessarily, like, the worst thing in the world, but it does also require a lot of patience and understanding of someone that's, like, stuck in his own ways.
Yeah.
And how that's such a relatable thing in life, where you can get used to living one particular way for such a long time, where it's hard to even consider changing.
Yep.
It's hard to even consider being somebody different or living a different way. One thing with the film as well, I will say, is his relationship with Stephen McKinley at the start of the film really immerses you into the world, because it's just them two walking together, talking like and acting like and feeling like just friends. And Stephen McKinley's like a great supporting actor in that scene with Denzel. It really like sets the tone for the rest of the film, for who Troy is, for his relationship with his people. And it's such a contained film. It's a great film, really good film.
Yeah, one person that I want to give a shout out, I can't remember his name, which is bad, is the person that plays Gabe, the brother. He's also plays Mikelty Williamson. He also plays Thingy in Forrest.
Oh, his son.
Gabriel.
Not the son, the brother.
Gabe. Oh, Gabriel. he had the mental health issue.
Yeah. He also plays what's his name in Forrest Gump?
Bubba,
thank you. He also plays Bubba. Thank you, my guy. He also plays Bubba in Forrest Gump. I think his performance was great as well.
No doubt.
I think even the first scene that he has with, and again, back to Denzel just being how much of a great actor he is, there's so many scenes where Gabe was talking, pacing up and down, and Denzel wasn't saying much. He's just his body language and his facial expression that just already told me enough about how Denzel felt in that scene without him actually having to tell me how he felt in that scene or having to say anything. He didn't need to raise his voice. He didn't need to grab his brother or push him around. You can tell just how irritated or annoyed he was in that scene just based on his facial expression and body language. But yeah, man, all round great performances from everybody. But Viola Davis and Denzel Washington specifically, like two of my favourite actors ever. And it's very rare that we get actors at this level playing together, especially on a film that is just completely based on the acting. It was real feel. It was real feel.
Everyone seen Malcolm X, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
What a film.
What a film indeed.
The reason that film was crazy to me, and I admit I had the luxury of watching it where I could take a break.
Yeah.
But I didn't need to take a break. Like, if I didn't want to take a break, I could have watched that and it didn't feel like a 3-hour movie. Obviously, we don't have the luxury of watching it in the cinema, because it's like was it 1992?
Yep, 92.
We don't have the luxury of watching it in the theatre, but it didn't feel like a 3-hour film. And I think, to me anyway, personally, although I'm aware it's a 3-hour film, I didn't feel at any point where I was like, can this film end? Because he embodies Malcolm X in like so many different ways. It's not like he plays one version of Malcolm X better than the other. Yeah. Although I was more interested in the latter half.
Because that's the one that we know.
Yeah, that's the one that we kind of like know.
I still found it so interesting to find out and see and have a window into his early life. That's obviously the first time I think him and Spike Lee worked together as well. Jason, what were your thoughts on Malcolm X
Do you know what? Malcolm X wasn't a film that I watched because of Denzel. Like, I watched it was because of Spike Lee, and then yeah. Denzel being in there was just a bonus.
Excuse me.
For me, like, while I think the film is excellent in the sense of like Malcolm X's performance, I think to your points about like Denzel being bigger than the film, I think this is one of them. But I also think like Spike Lee's directing is so well done in this film, if that makes sense as well. Like, I think those two are probably, because they've done three films together, I think.
Yeah,
Eagle Game
and
Inside Man.
I think this is, not to cut you off, but I think this is the best film that Denzel has been in. Like the film itself.
Oh, really?
I think the film itself is in, like, directing, writing. This is the best film that Denzel's been in.
It's up there. It's probably my second. I'll
save that because I want to know what
your first
is.
We'll get into it, but
someone I'm thinking of, then fair enough.
Yeah, just on the film, like his performance, like to your points about like seeing the early life of Malcolm X, and I think again it's the outside of the film that I find so interesting as well. This was the film that kind of like blacklisted Spike Lee from the industry for like 10-15 years as well. Like, there was so much media executive pushback for the release of this film. Yeah,
because the black community in America actually rebelled and rejected the initial director that was attached to the film, and then Spike Lee was brought in, and there was still a bit of pushback because he's not a black Muslim, so there was still pushback on even him directing the film.
No,
but I think because of what the film represents
as well, like, and again, like, I think like on a more jokey side, that film gave us a meme that has fed generations.
Brother, stop it.
That was good.
And then, like, we were talking about this earlier as well. Like, the context of it didn't even have to do anything with women, but like,
that brother, stop it.
That is just so, so well done. Like, I think, as well, what other scene am I thinking of? Where he's in prison as well.
Oh yeah, when he meets the guy for the first, I forgot the character's name.
I can't remember, but like when he meets him for the first time and just kind of like, there you go. Like, fantastic film, fantastic performance. But I think for me, what makes this film is kind of like the outside aspects and how, I guess, culturally significant it has become and how, like, because this was early in Denzel's career as well, like kind of like almost setting up who Denzel will be and Spike Lee as well.
He was already 20 years into film, by the way, at that point.
Yes, because 1975 is his first film. This is 92.
Yeah.
But I would say this is...
Okay, but I would say this much. Like,
his first, I'd say, like, major, like, not major role, maybe Glory, but, like, in this run, there's nothing that's, like...
I guess that's my point. Like, I, like, in terms of like when I think Denzel, like, you know, it is from Malcolm X that I'm like
starting with.
That's what I'm starting with, and then like it'll be like, we'll get into it more. But like Training Days, even like the more
Philadelphia came a year later.
Philadelphia as well, which is a film that I've only seen in bits and bobs as well. Like, never seen it in one go.
I think the interesting thing with Training Day as well is through his performance, it becomes more than just a biopic. It becomes like...
You said Training Day.
Oh, my bad, Training Day. I think it becomes an exploration of so many interesting, like, pertinent themes, which are relatable to the real world.
Yeah.
But you see and feel it through his character, especially when he has to confront the idea that what he has believed in all his life isn't necessarily the right thing, or is of truth, is of love, is of pure purpose.
Yeah.
And how he slowly but surely he goes into the world to then find out for himself that, for example, the white man isn't necessarily the devil per se.
Yeah.
We can be allies. We can live in this world together. There are going to be people that live that particular way, but he just got to see the world. And I think he brought that to life through his performance, which I really, really enjoyed. But then also I love the scenes with like Angela Bassett in the film, where you like get to see a more vulnerable side to Malcolm, a more loving side to him.
Yeah.
But then he's also having to balance that with his faith, with his love for Elijah Muhammad, and then the pressure that comes from sort of the way the Nation of Islam sort of turned on him slowly but surely, which just speaks to like human nature, where jealousy and envy and greed all comes into play. Beautiful film, great performance from Denzel.
Yeah.
He was nominated for an Academy Award for Best Actor in a Leading Role.
Yeah, I think there was a lot of
who
push
that year. Just out of curiosity.
Al Pacino.
Ooh. Yeah, it was Al Pacino. Yeah, yeah, it was.
What film? For?
90. What's the film called? It's not gonna come to me.
Yeah, it was Al Pacino.
Is it?
No, it's not Heat. Something else. It was a Taxi either.
He's not in Taxi.
De Niro, you're thinking of.
Jace.
It says it was a it was a Hopkins.
Okay.
Yeah, Hopkins.
Silence of the Lambs.
Silence of the Lambs.
1992.
Oh, my bad then. No, me.
Yeah, Fez.
It's an Oscar. It's an Oscar-worthy performance.
Yeah.
Sure. So, Jason,
yep.
Throw it back to you because I guess me and Manny have done quite a bit of talking. Is there a film that you particularly want to talk about that we haven't necessarily spoken on yet? That's a Denzel Washington movie.
That's a Denzel Washington movie. I mean, I hope it's all the one that we're thinking of, which is
it's up to you.
American Gangster.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Take it away.
American Gangster, I think, is my favorite Denzel film. Like,
tell us why. And I'm not mad at you.
Like, just his performance. Like, I can't remember because it's also like a semi biopic as well.
Yeah,
it's a real story.
Yeah, based on Frank Lucas' real story.
It's definitely not semi. It's definitely a biopic.
Yeah,
is it a biopic?
Yeah.
I thought it was a little bit.
I mean, I think they might do that a little bit with scenes, but like it's pretty much about Frank Lucas.
Yeah. No, I think this is his best film, and while I haven't seen Fences, to your point about having supporting characters bounce off each other so well.
Russell Crowe, mad.
Yeah, mad.
I think and American Gangster is a film that we've spoken about before, and I think you made up the point of like the parallels between Frank Lucas and Russell Crowe's character.
Yeah.
Where, you know, Frank Lucas, especially once he does become kind of like this drug lord, like, you know, clean cut, but like he's part of this super grimy world. Whereas Russell Crowe's character on the surface, mess of a human being, you know, bad husband, bad dad,
mm-hmm.
bad dad in air quotes, but like he really tries his best for the community and kind of like those parallel worlds. Even like you know, the shorter cameos from certain actors as well. Idris Elba.
Oh, it's packed with great actors, man.
Josh Brolin.
G. Brolin. Like, he cooks in this movie, you know.
Bro, this film is.
Bro, he cooks in this movie as well.
It's like
John Ortiz as well. John Ortiz is in it. Chiwetel Ejiofor.
Yo, see the names that we're dropping. Like this film.
Norman Reedus is in it as well.
Huh?
Norman Reedus is in it as well.
Is he?
Yeah, I don't recall him being in it.
Oh, he must have been a youngin. That
surely. RZA's in as well. I didn't realize.
T.I.
RZA, T.I. Yeah.
T.I. Yeah,
T.I.
Yeah,
T.I. Yeah.
Common, yeah. Common's in it.
It's a black movie.
That is a black film.
Cuba Gooding Jr. Yeah.
This is a super black movie.
This is such a black film. But like.
Idris.
Yeah, we just literally just talk about him.
Well, that scene really sets the tone.
Yeah.
I think that was that
because at the time, although Frank Lucas has a sort of allure and sort of, again, using the word like dominating feel and force, Idris Elba comes in and the film makes it clear that he's like the guy.
Big dog.
So for Denzel to then do that in front of his family who hadn't necessarily known that about him before sets the tone for the entire movie about who Frank Lucas is going to be going forward.
That, and then like I would say like especially like I think that was like the beginning of his, not necessarily his downfall, but like, you know, his eventual like
rise, not a downfall.
It's rise,
like you see like, okay, cool, this guy is willing to go nuts. And then when he does eventually, like I think it's at the party where he then
the piano scene
and then even
you blood that shit.
Yeah, you blood that shit. That's a $50,000 alpaca. Okay. You blood that shit. You don't rub it. you go to him and he come talk to me.
Yeah.
I think the one thing with this movie that makes it clear it's a really good one, at the very least, it's at least Denzel's performance, is the fact that we get so many like skits and moments of people performing scenes from the movie.
Mm.
I think it's the scene where he's with Russell Crowe. There's the scene you just did as well. There's so many like different scenes where people have either skitted it or they've like done their own sort of monologue versions of it, and I think that tells you.
Oh, what is that, the one where
he's like, snitching? The snitching one of his jokes.
That was so funny. Again, becomes such a good meme as well.
Yeah, it's a really, really good meme.
Starts looking at the picture. He's like,
he puts it up on the board. Like, yo, he was chatting to him, and he was chatting to him. Yeah.
I think what the film does really well as well. I think one thing Ridley Scott does is immerse you in the world through his directing.
Yeah.
Through
Ridley Scott.
Yeah, he directed it. And I think it dives into the theme of, which is done quite often, but I still think people don't really understand, is narcotics, drugs, contraband,
come into the countries we live in through other forces which enable this to happen.
Yeah.
So like, we can stigmatize those that sell it, and we can stigmatize those that take it, those that consume said narcotics and drugs. But there's a higher being and a higher power that facilitates this to happen in the first instance.
Yeah.
And I think we see that through Josh Brolin's character, for example, who wanted a cut for himself and allowed and facilitated things to happen until he couldn't anymore.
Do you know what's ironic a little bit about that? Have you mentioned Sicario?
Yeah.
You see how like Josh Brolin's character is kind of explaining to Emily Blunt's character at the end, is that like, you know, until we can tell, what do you call it, 20% of the population to stop snorting that shit, control is the best we can have, but how they have to bring it back in. It's, yeah, it's great.
Yeah, it's quite good. I like the ending of that film, by the way. Mm-hmm. Yeah, really good ending. Yeah. Any other thoughts?
Did you watch the second one? Sorry, did you watch the second one?
Yeah, the second one was good. I liked the second one.
Okay, I heard it was trash, so I never watched it. Yeah, it's second. But it's a different director. It's not Denis that does it.
I haven't.
Yeah, sorry, go on, guys.
You know, I just think it's a really good way in which we can. Police aren't good and bad. They're in between. There are some good, there are some bad.
Yeah.
Criminals aren't just good or bad. There is good in them and there's bad in them as well.
Yeah, it's a great film that kind of like just necessarily blurs the lines per se, but like just as you, to your point, like just tells the world that like not everything is as black and white as it's supposed to be. Like,
yeah. Good film, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, you might be right. It's Malcolm X in America, I think so.
Is
in
it?
Of, in terms of, not my favourite, but in terms of like everything outside of Denzel being great. The film. But yeah.
There's also, you mentioned parallels with the characters, but there's also parallels in the life that Frank Lucas lives in comparison to what the narcotics he's bringing in is doing to his community.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think it's always going to be a powerful theme to touch upon.
No, exactly, 100%. Like,
Manny.
Yes, sir.
Over to you. What do you want to talk about?
What do I want to talk about? We can talk about Booker Eli quickly.
Okay, go ahead.
When I watched it when I was younger.
Yeah.
When I watched it when I was younger, I thought like this film is really, really. I thought the film was great. Watched it recently, it's like,
let's be real, it's too like ass.
Yeah, it's shit, bro.
Denzel's the only good thing about the film.
Denzel's the only good thing about the
film. Why don't you?
It's one. I'm not a big. Shoot me. I'm not a big fan of Max Fury, Max Rod.
Mad Max.
I'm not, and that's in Book of Eli, essentially a replica of that.
Yeah, and that whole.
It took
that
world, so much influence from Mad Max. I'm not a huge fan of that film. Not a huge fan of that aspect or that way of storytelling. I don't feel like the supporting cast were great.
Mm-hmm.
What's the name that
Mila Kunis?
Yeah.
Get out of the fuck out of here, bro.
this guy is milk bible.
Get out of here, bro. And you know what's Max? You know what? I remember loving that film so much because that nigga blind.
Yeah, bro. That's like when you find out that he's blind.
He's like, that everything else that happened in the film, I forgot. Like,
that twist with the book as well. When you find out, he's like, yo, no way.
That's how I felt when I was younger, speaking like, this film's cold. Watching again as an adult. Like, no, man, it was mid.
Gary Oldman's in it as well.
Yeah. He was decent in it.
I don't remember Gary Oldman in it.
He's the main villain, yeah.
Is it?
He's decent in it, but it's not one of my least favorite Gary Oldman performances. Literally, bro. I just don't think it was a good film. Like, I don't think it was written that well. I don't think like the characters were fairly nuanced. Like, Gary Oldman played like a. It was written like a 80s, 90s typical villain. We know what you want. You know what you you know why you want it. It's like, it's very, very not nuanced. Whatever the opposite word of nuance is. Yeah, man, it was just like, it's not like the directing was amazing. I can't remember a single shot where I was like, ooh, that was shot well. The cinematography was meh because it was trying to replicate another film whose cinematography I don't really care for. And it does it in a worse way. And it's like some decision making just didn't make any sense to me. I get that he's blind and he's kind of superhuman, but he got away with best shit that he should not be getting away with. Mid film at best.
I think like the thing about Denzel is, right, and one thing when I looked at his discography, like, this guy is genuinely a lover of action films, because when you look at the Equalizer films, Two Guns,
Safe House,
Eli, Safe House,
sick guy, you know, when that scene that turning when he flips the gun.
Yeah. I haven't seen the film, but I know what scenes.
You've seen, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Where someone's pointing a gun and he takes it off and flips it.
He's not going to pay attention to the gun, and he then takes it, yeah.
And then, like Denzel, like...
Even
Gladiator 2, like, the one thing about Denzel is, like, and you said it earlier as well, like, a lot of people think that, like, they're a little bit wary of him, but, like, you see him in a lot more interviews. This guy, he's a little bit more... what's the word I'm looking for? Like, he's a lot more chilled than like some of his acting performances do let on. Like, this guy is a really chilled guy. He just loves acting for the sake of acting, and
just don't put a phone in his face when he doesn't want you to.
Yeah, don't do all that. don't do that to that people counts, in general. Yeah, but because.
I'm yeah, terrible. But it's weird shit though. It's,
yeah,
it's
that's weird shit. Yeah. That's weird shit.
So and don't do it. He tells you not to do it, and then you do it again.
Do it again. It's like, come on, man. Like,
I wouldn't recommend, personally.
Yeah, but because to your point, like with Book of Eli, like I want to talk about Two Guns as well with Mark Wahlberg.
Two Guns is enjoyable, you know.
Two Guns
it's enjoyable to watch, but it is a pack of ass as well.
But it's a two pack of ass buddy pop type of shit. And I was just like, yo, like Denzel actually like
wants to have fun sometimes.
He wants to have fun sometimes, but he has fun a lot of times because, like, I think at this point now, especially with Equalizer 3, I think he's got directing credits.
I do think, though, what you're alluding to, like, these kind of action films are towards the later end of his career, because early on, it's just really serious roles. And then it's really until Booker Eli, I would say.
2008, 9-ish?
Yeah, 2010 onwards is when I'm like, all right, cool, now he's just having fun.
Even Gladiator 2.
Yeah.
He's having a ball. You can just see, he said, I'm just going to bring my fitter influences.
You know, you love dressing up. I know for a fact he loves
dressing up. Yeah. Even the scene where he was fighting Paul Mescal's character, you could just see he was having a bit of a good time, but still managed to bring the best performance in the movie.
By far,
man.
Like, yeah, made me really believe his character. Oh, no, the performance was really.
Every time.
Like, then, yeah, every time. fixing his robe and stuff like that.
If I was to watch that film again, it would be for him.
Yeah.
Oh, easily. Yeah. Like, which goes back to our point again. Like, you know, we watch Denzel for Denzel rather than the films itself.
Yeah. How many films do you watch just because of Robbie Downey Jr.?
I don't know.
Zero.
I'm gonna be so fucking for real. Like, because I know what you're referring to.
Right? No, to be fair to him, he's only done MCU films in the last 10 years.
Yeah, like
that wasn't.
I'll say this much. Yeah, like if I see Robert Downey Jr.'s name, I'll be like, oh shit, cool.
Yeah. No, but you know the man. The man can really act.
No, fair.
Oppenheimer.
Like,
yeah, Oppenheimer.
Zodiac.
Like
I don't think I looked into all the stuff. Do you know what? I know it's not Robert Downey Jr., but do you know what film I really like? Is the one where he does blackface?
Tropic Thunder.
Oh, he's unbelievable in that. He's unbelievable in that.
And obviously, blackface is wrong, but I like when you're critiquing it, there's nothing wrong with it.
No, when like that, critique, the context matters so much because a lot of people are trying to.
I've seen his blackface, like, he's doing blackface. That wasn't like, the point.
The idea that, like, how stupid he looks trying to do this.
Yeah, is they're critiquing the stupidness of blackface. Yeah,
I do think, though, they are walking on very thin ice.
He definitely enjoyed that role.
He enjoyed that role. You said it so hard, you broke your hand.
Yeah.
Way too convincing.
You know that ones where Quentin was like, that's not even in the script.
Yeah. If you think Quentin didn't write that,
he created a whole character so he could play just say the nigga, the word nigga.
Yeah.
Quentin can get the fuck out of here, bro. That guy can get the fuck out of here.
I love Quentin, but we need to have a conversation about him maybe one day.
Yeah, guys are never going to last to a Quentin episode, right?
Oh, you don't like him? I feel like you've mentioned it before.
Yeah, he's the guy.
Really?
Well, you don't like him.
I understand it. So I get it.
He's a good director.
His writing is questionable. I'll say that much. Because sometimes.
Really? I think when it comes to like writing character scenes are just dialogue.
Yeah,
he's phenomenal.
He's my favorite.
No. I guess to be specific,
storytelling.
His storytelling, or rather, forcing the N word.
N word. Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like, come on, I don't think we needed that.
Because I was gonna say, I know we shat on Huss when he was talking about it, but you see the opening to Inglourious Basterds is actually.
Oh, that's my favorite opening to a film.
It's phenomenal. No, it's phenomenal.
Don't listen to Bissola.
We only shat on Huss.
No, we shat on Huss.
He had it as number one.
Yeah, that's bad.
Like Inglourious Basterds is a fantastic film. Nobody's debating that. Yeah. But
the opening scene of that is.
The opening scene is.
Yeah.
A film I want to talk about quickly before maybe wrap up for today. There's two films. One of them is Flight. Mm-hmm. It's a film that I rewatched recently and I'd forgotten the premise of the film. So like that film could have easily
another meme.
That film could have easily been a the ending. Is it the ending?
It's when he's like it's like what does he say? He says
drunk right now.
I'm drunk right now.
No. It's not even that. It's the other one where it's like That sounds like Lord help me or something like that, innit?
Oh, when he's already on stand. Yeah, he's like trying to drink the water. I can't remember the context of that scene, but he's like fixing himself. He goes, like, Lord help me.
No, yeah. I was thinking of that, the meme for
I'm drunk right there. Yeah, that's the one I was immediately thinking of as well.
Yeah, that film, because I'd forgotten the premise, so I just re-watched it blank. That film could have easily been like a typical, like, flight mare type of film. But the film isn't necessarily about him being a great pilot. It's not about having great action sequences or immersive sequences per se. The film is about a man who is an addict. He's an addict and he's stuck with his addiction, and he at times tries to veer away from his addiction, but always finds himself back that way until he finally sees the impact of his behaviour and what it's done.
He's like forced to deal with those consequences as well.
And I think the scene that told me the most about the growth of his character was the scene with his son in prison, when his son comes to visit him at the end of the movie, as well as obviously the confession. I'm drunk right now. Great performance.
Didn't drink the vodka.
Super nuanced.
I drank the vodka.
Super nuanced movie, which I didn't expect it to be based upon what I remembered it for. But no, I think it's a really good movie, actually. And a good, again, Denzel, in one sense, is so like visceral and bitter and angry, but then he's also like, so the moments where he's like scrambling around to different people, I think it's Whitaker's his character's name.
Oh yeah.
And he's scrambling around to different people to try and get them to tell the side of the story that he wants presented, is the way you see the like the vulnerable, sort of timid, weak nature of his character. And it, again, within one film, he can give you like so many different feelings and facets of a performance. Really good film.
No.
And a good, great performance from Denzel, man.
Facts.
And that takes me to Inside Man, which I love.
Yes.
I love Inside Man.
Crazy that we left it this long, to be fair.
Yeah. No, I guess I was always going to touch on it.
Yeah, it was never going to knock
Inside Man's it's a great movie. And it's such a simple premise. But I think everyone delivers in the movie. Would you not say, guys?
Yeah.
I agree for sure.
How do you, what about you, thoughts? I love the film because I just think everyone performs. I think Denzel's great. The on-screen dynamic with Jodie Foster in that movie, top tier. Like, she's great.
She brought her game.
Yeah, she did. And she bounced off him beautifully. Him and Chiwetel Ejiofor have this sort of like buddy cop dynamic, which is so believable. And I think he's a really good actor as well. He's a Brit. I'm pretty sure he's a Brit. No, he's American. Is he a Brit?
No, he's a Brit.
Chiwetel's a Brit,
he's
right?
Brit, yeah.
I'm not Gatling.
Nigerian, right? Nigerian Brit. Yeah.
Do you know what?
Yeah, British actor.
I mean, I think we already did an episode on it, on British actors.
No, we haven't.
I think we've done like segments on it when we had guests and talked about it. We've done a whole episode.
There's an episode there. There's an episode there for sure. Yeah, there's an episode there. Because I saw him recently in The Life of Chuck with Tom Hiddleston.
Great. I need to watch that film.
It's out. I think it's out like August. It's weird. But anyway. But like, Inside Man's great. Inside Man's great. Just Clive Owen. Oh.
Yeah, he bodies it as well.
Oh, everyone brings their A-game in the movie, man.
William Dafoe.
It's a packed movie when it comes.
I've not seen that film in like almost 20 years.
Christopher Plummer's in it as well.
It's a great movie, man. It's a great movie. So, but the thing is with the movie, it's so simple in premise. Like, we've probably seen this before.
Bag heist so many times.
But I think what elevates it is the performers. Denzel is obviously great. But interestingly and greatly, everyone else brings their A-game.
No, I think like brings us back to our point as well. Like, Denzel is such a good actor. Everybody's able to bounce off him so well. Yeah. And
you see why Chiwetel does that really well? Because they have some really like great comedic moments in what's meant to be like an intense, dark, like heist movie. But they have great chemistry and like funny moments, which just elevate the movie because it gives you like a release from the tension.
Yeah. Like, I think, now that I think about it, I don't know, maybe he is my GOAT actor. Maybe he is my GOAT actor. After all of this, maybe he is my GOAT actor. Because I'm just thinking, like to your point, like, you talk about chemistry and whatnot, right? All the films Denzel has been in, like, even Philadelphia with Tom Hanks, like, as a lawyer, like, again, another film that kind of, like, touches on the wider aspects of society, like, how people view AIDS and the gay community and so on and so forth and whatnot. Especially like for a film that came out in what, 93?
Damn,
the AIDS hysteria in the early 90s, crazy. So to have a film that touches on that conversation and Tom Hanks and Denzel's like chemistry in between those, and then like even though the film is trash, Book of Eli, Mila Kunis and Denzel bounce off each other quite well enough to make that film enjoyable enough to watch. Like, Denzel is just fantastic.
I forgot to mention, someone he's got a great on-screen chemistry with is Don Cheadle, and I think you see it in Flight.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
And also in...
Underrated actor, by the way.
The Devil in a Blue Dress. Don't know if you guys have
seen that one.
No, I have not.
It's a good Denzel movie. I don't think it's one of his best, per se, but he puts in a good performance. It's an interesting watch. It dives into, like... I think his character comes back from the army, and he's having to like try and find his way in the world full of systemic racism. And he's required to like do these sort of secondhand jobs to essentially make money because he hasn't got a job. I think he got fired from his job, so he starts doing these sort of secondhand dealing jobs. And again, just plays into like sort of themes we've seen before in racism and systemic racism and prejudice. But it's a good Denzel performance. And Don Cheadle isn't like a massive presence in the movie, but he's good in the movie.
Okay.
And I think he does the same. I think he's even better in Flight, actually. In Flight. Wow, his performance is really good. And Crimson Tale is a good movie. I don't know if you guys have seen that one.
I have not seen
Crimson, that. Crimson Tale is a good Denzel movie. I think it's like 1990. It's in the 90s anyway. That's a really good Denzel movie. If you had to pick one that's your favourite, what would it be?
American Gangster.
Offences.
It might be Training Day.
Fair.
I haven't seen Fences, but I don't think it's the wrong answer. Fences, I'm not gonna argue. Yeah.
Someone could also say Malcolm X.
Malcolm X, yeah. Like, I think there are so many.
Malcolm
X
is a banger, man.
I was gonna say, is any of you must have seen? Remember the Titans?
Yeah. Oh my god!
He's unbelievable.
Yeah, yeah, that's bad.
Also,
yeah,
another one of those films where they let the NY fly a little bit too loose.
Yeah.
That little girl saying, like, "I don't want this Negro taking your job, Daddy."
Who's the little girl again? She cooked in that film.
Like, I can't remember her name, right, but like, remember the Titans.
It's got Wood Harris in it as well.
Wood Harris is
Wood Harris, Ryan Gosling, which is very good.
Yeah. He plays the
Will Patton. So you're thinking of a Hayden Pet? I can't say her name properly, but yeah. Well, that girl.
Oh.
It's fine, that's just cookies.
Yeah, she cooked in our film, bro. She cooked in our film.
We didn't even mention Man of Fire, did we?
I was going to say Man of Fire is another one that you might haven't mentioned.
That, yeah, bro. Who's got a better resume?
And then also, you didn't dive into it, but I keep saying it. He Got Game is amazing.
I haven't seen it.
You two need to watch it. Like, it's so good.
Work as a basketball.
It's not really to do with basketball. Well, it is, but like, he's in jail, right?
Y'all like it, don't you?
He gets told that he can get an early parole, right? Yeah, because his son's going to be the next LeBron.
Yeah.
If his son will choose, the state or something to do with like that prison in it, and
that's crazy.
And then like, yeah, and then like, but because him and his son had like a very like bad relationship going like before him going away, and I think he blames it for the death of his mother. It's about that dynamic and like, what's his son going to do.
Okay.
And the fact that his son, like, about like, how the agent's trying to, like, bribe him to go somewhere and what his son wants to do and how, what his... It's, bro, it's amazing.
Is that the first film him and Spike Lee done together?
Yes.
Okay.
Which takes us to the film coming out this year.
Yeah.
So you have to mention that.
Really looking forward to that, man.
Too.
It's, the premise is he's a record label executive or something along those lines, right?
I have no idea.
I'm pretty sure that's the premise. I think it'll be the first film.
Yeah, like, musical.
Oh! Movie. Okay, that makes sense.
Because of ASAP.
Yeah.
I was thinking more Ice Spice.
Oh, okay.
Okay, that makes a lot more sense now.
I threw the hide Ice Spice just to see some ass. What's going on?
I have no comment. What's your favorite Denzel?
Yeah, probably American Gangster or Malcolm X.
Is it?
Yeah, probably between one of those two.
Yeah, gun to your head, pick one.
American Gangster.
Gun to your head, so it's kind of fitting, right?
Yeah, there you go.
Kind of fitting. This is one of the greatest actors of our time.
I said Training Day.
Oh, you
said Training Day already, yeah.
Okay.
It's one of the greatest actors of our time.
He must have the best resume. Who has a better resume?
This is the thing is, while you were talking, I was bringing up, like, you said
the
Brad Pitt.
I genuinely think...
And I was bringing up Leo and Tom Hanks.
But there, it's not as strong, is it?
This is the thing.
I think Brad Pitt has got...
So look, if I was to like run through Brad Pitt's like really, really quickly, and I would just say what like stands out.
Yeah.
So you have Interview with a Vampire, 12 Monkeys, 7.
Mm.
Then it goes 7 years of Tibet, Snatch, Fight Club.
What's in the box?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oceans. The Oceans trilogy.
What's in the fucking box?
Glorious Bastards. Benjamin Button. Mm. Moneyball. Mm. Fury. And then you probably go into this, and then you, and if I liked also
Troy, once, Troy?
What, Troy,
Troy,
Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, Bullet Train, and then
that's
now F1.
A crazy discog still.
Yeah, that's kind of tough.
That's what I'm saying. And then I went through Tom Hanks, and I think Tom Hanks could even be even better. So like, I would start from you have Forrest Gump, Castaway,
yeah.
Green Mile, Terminal, yeah. Saving Private Ryan, yeah, the Da Vinci Code, Catch Me If You Can, Sully. Sleepless in Seattle, Philadelphia,
Toy Story.
And then if you like it as well, I like rom-coms, isn't it? So like, You've Got Mail.
Yeah. What's Leo said?
And then, this is where it gets nice. This is where it gets nice. And it's crazy. It's not even a lot. Like, compared to them, like,
ones that he does.
So Titanic, Wolf of Wall Street, The Revenant, Inception, Shutter Island, Romeo and Juliet, Catch Me If You Can, Killers of a Flower Moon, Great Gatsby, The Departed, Once Upon a Time in
Hollywood,
Django, Beach, Blood Diamond,
that is insane.
Aviator, Gangs in New York, The Man in the Iron Mask,
I've never seen Aviator, so.
J. Edgar, Body of Lies, which I think is a bit mid, but yeah, Don't Look Up, again, another bit
you
mid.
Some of the greatest of our time.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely top, like, Tom Hanks stacked.
Yeah,
I think I still
prefer Denzel's. You know, and that might be because some of the stories his character delves into the Black African American experience to some degree, and I think that might be not a bias per se, but more of an interest in the story.
As someone that's not biased and has that per se, I will agree with you guys though when you talk about like Denzel movies, they feel like he owns them, innit?
Yeah.
Whereas the others, they're just part of great movies.
Yeah.
Whereas, like,
as great as they are,
because they're some of my favorite actors. But like I said, a Denzel movie, I already know that, like, yo, without watching it, I don't care who's beside it, this is his movie.
Yeah.
So like Gladiator, they try to push Paul Mescal as, I mean, I rightfully so, because he has the amount of screen time. But that's Denzel's movie with this guy in it.
It's Denzel's movie.
Yeah, legit.
And
Paul Mescal just happened to be
here. I think at the time we did criticise the screenplay somewhat for not giving Paul Mescal's character enough meat on the bone per se to be the lead.
Yeah.
But I think it's like, Denzel.
You have to give Denzel his minutes,
but also as well, if we're talking about...
Denzel makes the most of every scene he's in.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
Does the same, but I do think that might just be...
I think there's other actors that have better films, because I can't lie, I feel the filmography of Tom Hanks and Leonardo DiCaprio might be better than Denzel's, but if I'm doing performance on performance...
I think it's Denzel. Performances, man.
I think Denzel's a better performer than Tom Hanks.
Yeah.
It's the other two that I'd be like, okay. But then even I think he's better than Brad Pitt. I think he's an actor. I think it's Leo is the one I'm like, all right, that's Messi Ronaldo.
That's the conversation right there. Messi and Ronaldo right there.
And the age difference is what Leonardo could do was what, like 40, 50?
Yeah, Leonardo.
And he takes that 3-year breaks now, 4-year breaks.
Yeah.
Leo.
And can afford to because there will be someone that would want to work with him at any
time. Picks great. Scott Martin, Scott Sazy.
No, that's his guy.
He's got like a big film coming out.
Scott Sazy's got him as well, to be fair.
Yeah. That's
He's got a film with Paul Anderson coming out this year as well.
Oh, really?
Yeah, one off the trailer looks nuts.
Trailer looks good.
By the way, Regina Hall looks incredible in it as well.
It looks like it might be a banger still.
Yeah.
It looks like it might be a banger.
We need to do another actor at some point, bro.
Yeah.
This is a great
episode. I want to do a Coogler deep dive as well at some point.
Ryan Coogler? I'm down for that.
Ryan Coogler deep dive.
Anything to talk about Sinners?
Any reason.
I'll pick a whole Sinners.
You know what? This might sound negative, and it's not. Because I spoke about it so much, I needed a break. Yeah. I have got my break, and I'm now
ready to talk about it again.
That movie's great.
Go on.
No, sir. I just had a question for you guys about, are you excited to see him in Black Panther?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Denzel, absolutely.
What, is that confirmed?
Yeah.
They've confirmed it twice.
He's writing him into Black Panther 3.
Oh my goodness.
1,010%.
Do you think it's going to be...
But imagine if they kept Angela Bassett. Oh, man.
When I was watching Malcolm X, that's what I thought. Angela Bassett and Denzel, is she not going to be in the next film?
They killed her off.
He died, man.
And she cooked in that movie.
She cooked in that movie.
Fucking,
I fully forgot as well.
When Namor came and invaded Wakanda.
I don't have it in my head.
Yeah, Namor.
Okay. Jamie Lee Curtis should not have won that Oscar.
No, Jamie Lee Curtis should have gone. But she didn't win it for that.
Stephanie
Hugh.
It should have gone to Stephanie. Yeah, she won it for Everything All at Once.
Yeah.
I thought that was just some legacy award that they gave her.
No, Angela Bassett got a legacy award after that.
Yeah, later.
Because they know the fucked up. But it should not have gone to Jamie Lee Curtis.
Stephanie
Never.
Hugh.
She wasn't. Stephanie Hugh was the best part of. Oh my God.
Bro, she got robbed.
That's crazy.
It was nasty business.
That's crazy.
Nasty business, bro.
You know what? Yeah. That's white privilege at work.
No, and that's a wrap up for today's podcast. Yeah. We are the Post Credit Scene Podcast, a 14 HQ original. Love
the white man.
Lovers of film, TV, and theatre, and that's us over and out.
Hi, I'm Lashana Lynch, and you are listening to the Post Credit Scene Podcast.